Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. And we, of course, would love to hear from you. So you can give us a call at the call-in number, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You don't want to call us. You want to make a comment that doesn't require your speaking voice. Your real voice. You can always email us your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You can also jump into the Blog Talk chat room if you're listening to us live. We take questions from there. And you can go to the Smooth Drama site, www.smoothdrama.com. And we have the live chat there. The live chat there is live, like 24/7. It's like anytime you want to say something, you can put it in there. And guess what? We will actually listen and pay attention to what you say. Because that's how we're built here at Smooth Drama. Your concerns are our concerns sometimes.
We just like to talk.
Yeah. That too. All right. In social media, if you're on Facebook, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group, myself or Mr. J, he of the shiny whiskers, will add you to the group. Once again, myself or Mr. J, he of the shiny whiskers, will add you to the Smooth Drama group on Facebook. And basically, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, follow us. Add us, whichever. We want to talk to you. Like Brown Sugar said, we just want to talk. We want to have a conversation. Conversate. Whichever one you want to call it. We do all that.
Well, you know, I like to conversate. I know you like conversation. I like to conversate, though. So
I have no problem with conversation.
Oh, you do? No, I said, so you don't mind conversating, no.
I don't mind conversate. You know what? You want to sit down and conversate? We can sit down and conversate. Just saying. Wherever you want to go with it, I follow. I have no problem with it. All platforms are ready to be spoken on. And speaking of platforms to be spoken on, as always, we are talking about the scrumptious apocalypse. And it just gets more delicious by the day. I guess we would say even more scrumptious.
You know, you were talking the other day about, like, adding words to it. And I'm just like, I mean, I can say I'm flabbergasted. About the scrumptious apocalypse. I feel hoodwinked and bamboozled, but other than that, I can't really add, you know, like any other adjectives to the
describing
COVID.
You just did.
Well, those are how I'm feeling. Those are my feelings.
Right. You're the flabbergasting, scrumptious apocalypse.
Okay. All right. I knew you'd be able to figure that out.
Yeah, that's. You know, because I was saying, do you say more scrumptious or more scrumptiouser? I mean, because we just make up some stuff. It doesn't really matter.
I was gonna say more scrumptiouser sounds great to me. The crazier it sounds, the more I feel it.
Well, shit is crazy. So
yeah. That's what I'm saying. I could feel it. I could dig it.
Yeah, because not that we're normalizing. And I want to make this clear. When we talk about the flabbergasting, more scrumptious or apocalypse, we're definitely not talking about it being normalized. We're just talking about how crazy it is, because it is not normal. And when they say this is the new normal, nah, I reject that. I still say this is not normal, and I refuse to normalize it. So it's going to be absurd because we're living in absurd times. Just for the record, if you weren't clear.
I like that better than unprecedented. I'm tired of that word, unprecedented. This is an unprecedented time. We are living in unprecedented times. I'm tired of that.
It's actually not unprecedented times. I don't. I mean, we've lived in worse times. It's all in the situations. I mean, if you were in one of them places where they were going to wars like World War I or World War II, that's unprecedented. You know, you don't know when the bomb's going to drop. Stuff like that. That's horrific. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have Netflix, so I don't know. I can't relate to horrific times. Yes, these are not ideal circumstances, but we're still good. I have options. And most of us, we'll say the majority of us have options. Obviously, there's some of us who do not. Hopefully, some things can change. In the meantime, speaking of options, so there's a British-based firm, Oxitec, and they're behind a project what they're calling a Jurassic Park experiment. So automatically, when you say Jurassic Park experiment, I'm running the other way. I don't want to be in the movie. Apparently, in Florida, and they've greenlit this. Yeah, of course it's Florida, right? So they've greenlit them releasing 750 million genetically engineered mosquitoes.
Dude.
Yeah. So
what are they gonna do?
The male mosquito, which is named OX5034, has been created to produce female offspring that die at larval stage before they grow big enough to spread disease and bite. And so these mosquitoes will be released in the Florida Keys.
To kill other mosquitoes?
Well, supposedly what they're supposed to do, Mr. Jurassic Park part, they're supposed to mate with the other mosquitoes, but their genes are supposed to be genetically modified where they die in the larval stage, meaning they don't get to be adults. So before they learn how to bite and suck blood and transmit disease, they die. That's what's supposed to happen. But
is it possible that they can mutate into something else though as well, since they're genetically modified? I don't know. I just always think of like X-Men when I think of genetically modified. You know, or the $6 million man, or, you know, something turning into something else.
Well, yeah, because the best laid plans just never work out. They just never work out. So what we're talking about here is, hey, we're going to release 750 million mosquitoes. into Florida. Y'all ain't got enough mosquitoes, right? So these mosquitoes, and I guess these supposed to be the gigolo mosquitoes, they gonna just show up, and they gonna hit all the female mosquitoes, get them pregnant, and the mosquitoes that they have are all gonna die. So basically, the plan is to eradicate mosquitoes. That's the plan.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, which I always have an issue with. I mean, they kill other insects, so I don't know. I'm a firm believer in the circle of life.
Circle of life?
We're all here for, well, you know, the food chain as well.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I just always feel like when you get rid of one, you're either going to have more of another or less of something else, too, as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure. I would say with 999,000,000,000% probability that it's not going to work out the way they expect it to work out, because it never does.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I see it, you're releasing 750 million mosquitoes. I'm going to guess that something's going to happen, and you're going to create a bigger, badder, deadlier mosquito. Just so to all my homies down there in Florida, y'all get ready for Super Mosquito. Dun, 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 dun. Super Mosquito, it's coming.
Yeah, something is gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, you can't, you can't even say too much. It's
no,
ridiculous.
You just really hope for the best.
Yeah, you hope for the best, but expect the worst. That's why I'm Florida. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's like, so all the experiments happen in Florida. That's what we're talking about.
I was going to say, they talk about New Mexico being like where the aliens are and all that, but I think something happened in Florida as well.
But they have that salt water down there. They got that salt water. And sulfur water is where it's at. And so, because we're, once again, we are in the flabbergasting, more scrumptiouser apocalypse, it's always going to be something. So, for example, Stacey Dash. Y'all remember Stacey Dash? Unfortunately. Yeah. Well, she's going through a divorce. I wouldn't talk about this because people getting divorces, it's not really newsworthy, save for the fact that her husband says he was hypnotized into marrying her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How so? Well, they've been married for quite some time, though, so that means he's been hypnotized for some years then, right?
I don't know how long they've been married, but they had a domestic dispute. She went to jail. And that was, I mean, they have all kinds of disputing statements about their marriage. They said they were married only 10 days after their pastor unexpectedly and suddenly proclaimed that it was God's will for them to tie the knot. They had only met 10 days prior. And so
the pastor said they should get married.
Mm-hmm. And so Yeah, he claims the ability to consent to the marriage was influenced by hypnotic prayer techniques.
Hypnotic prayer.
Stop.
You know what though? I don't know.
So you believe in hypnotic prayer techniques?
I don't want to call it hypnotic prayer techniques, but
you want to call it?
I don't know what you call it. The Holy Spirit.
Hold on.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit. I'm confused now. You know I'm confused.
Oh,
right, because you said the Holy Spirit. You said hypnotic prayer techniques. I'm trying to get how we go from hypnotic prayer techniques to the Holy Spirit.
What do you mean? I think that's what he's trying to say, but not understanding what he's actually saying.
Oh, so after 10 days, the pastor says, you know what? Y'all, it's God's will that y'all get married. And so they were praying, and the hypnotic prayer techniques hit him, and he's like, you know what? This got to happen.
I'm not saying that because I'm not him and I don't know what his life is like, but I agree that prayer it can transform you. Yes, it can.
Okay. But, all right, so you're saying the prayer can transform you.
But I don't know what I don't know what his situation is or what happened there, so.
Well, he says that, you know, I was hypnotized, and
but I don't
know.
You can't say, like, were they just saying the Lord's Prayer? You know, like, there's no content there. There's no content. Like, in what does he mean? Is he talking about, like, a ritual? You know what I mean? What is he really saying?
Well, he didn't explain further.
Exactly.
And, right, so. Because when you put out a crazy statement, you can't explain a crazy statement.
I really think it can be explained.
Can it be?
I think it can be.
You think a crazy statement can be explained?
I think what he said can be explained. I don't know. I don't necessarily feel like that's a crazy statement.
Okay.
The crazy statement is that they only knew each other for 10 days. That's the crazy statement to me.
Okay, but so now I'm like, hold on, brown sugar. You gonna have to. What does this say to you? Because I'm not seeing it, and maybe there's some people listening who want to know how you see it. You hit us with your funky emotion.
I mean, like I said, I can't necessarily say this for him. Like for me, like when I was an avid church goer and I was active in church, yeah, prayer can change you. It can put you in a different realm.
Okay, a different realm.
I mean,
and so,
yeah.
Okay.
So if you don't necessarily believe in prayer, because you don't believe in God, let's just say you don't believe in God, or you know, but you believe in meditation. Meditation is the same thing.
I'm not arguing that point. So what we're saying, I mean, because normally people meditate because they're trying to center themselves and get their mind right and project the positive energy that they want to put out and receive. Right,
and people pray the same way. People use prayer the same way.
Right, you pray for what you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that, but it doesn't sound like he was praying for marriage.
And that's what I'm saying, though. I would have to understand, like, what the whole situation was. I mean, after 10 days, that's the part that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But the prayer part isn't crazy to me. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't argue for I didn't say that the prayer part was crazy. I agree.
No,
10 days and you got married.
I'm not saying you said it.
Him using that
is like, I feel like he may have been, I don't know, tricked, I guess, maybe to a certain degree. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm just saying, I don't know what the situation was. I mean, I don't know what the conversations were. I don't, you know, all that. I don't know. Like, I've never met anybody that I wanted to marry into that I've only known for 10 days. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, that sounds like either an arranged marriage or, I'm going to say this, it's not like it'd be a secret, but he was pussy whipped.
In 10 days? Really?
10 days. Hey.
It could happen in 10 days.
Speculation. You know, it's like if somebody.
Men are so weak.
wait. Hold on. I said, that's my speculation on him. He's the one that's talking about being hypnotized, blah, blah, blah. So I'm speculating.
You're not the first man to talk about somebody being pussy with, though. So,
right. Because that's what that is. If you marry somebody in 10 days, if you're not trying to steal their money or they're not trying to steal your money.
Maybe he thought he had some.
Yeah, okay. So
some clueless money.
Yeah, that was almost 30 years ago, but and I don't think that one counts as like Avatar, like, oh my god, it's the number one movie of all time. Nope. So I'm thinking that if there are some residuals showing up, it's like 2 cent check. I don't know.
Anyway. I mean, you know, we all think celebrities have lots of money, so you know
I don't actually.
I'm just talking about society in general thinks celebrities. We all like to believe that they're, you know, that lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah.
Fugazi.
Right. Fugazi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we only had one that was realistic, and that was the epic Red Man Cribs episode that lives forever. Other than that, no. I'm just saying that there was some realities there, and you just say after 10 days, either he was gullible or he was gullible pussy whip, where it just like he's like, you know what, if I can do this every day or have a chance to do this every day, why not?
I mean, and he could have thought he loved her. I mean, and you know, men tend to glamorize how Stacey Dash is, and then they find out they're batshit crazy, and then
you go that, why you won't be general? That generalization, men.
Yeah. He's a man.
Okay.
He said it.
I know he's a man. I'm just saying,
that
comment.
So I can't say who he is. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't know his name. So I can't say his name.
I don't care about his name.
Stacey Dash's husband.
Yes.
Or her estranged husband.
Future ex.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Right, that dude.
Okay. I mean, you're taking it all so personal. Wow.
I'm not actually. I was just talking about your generalization. That's all.
Well, it is just a generalization. We can't talk in general terms.
All right. So if I make the comment, hey, because, you know, these women out here, such and such is batshit crazy. and they go crazy over them. Okay. Well, yeah, I know they're crazy.
Harsh. She's but one, and Holly Berry is another. So, I mean, I'm not offended by it because it's not me. I'm not them, so I'm not offended by it.
Yeah, I'm not offended either. I'm just saying we just can't be making these general. But it's okay. We're gonna move.
I look at it like this: we can't say all, because when people say like it's not all women, but we already know if you're a common sense adult, if you've had any adult experience and you have some common sense, you know it's not all. And when you're generalizing something, you're not necessarily saying all. You're just saying what you've maybe experienced or what you've heard. It's not personal.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of not personal, we'll move on to the dumbass of the week. All right. Always got to get that last one in. Aaron Neal from Inglewood in Chicago. Whew. This dude. He was live streaming himself breaking into an ATM during a string of protests and looting incidents and stating that he is not a looter while live streaming himself breaking into an ATM. And he comes out and he says he's very remorseful for his alleged actions, even though he live streamed himself breaking into an ATM. I don't like to generalize, but when we talk about this generation in particular and them, the snitching on themselves, it's not even inadvertent. You're breaking into something, because I mean, I've seen countless videos, and it's something that I keep talking about. For some reason, they can't not be on the camera. Like, you gonna see me, and I get there's a psychological thing society doesn't recognize you, the Ralph Ellison Invisible Man. We can go the psychological chains of Jim Crow. We can go through all that and talk about processing and, as some people say, unpacking that. But you're committing a crime and you're live streaming it for the world to see. So eventually, when it comes back to you, they're going to arrest you. And they're going to use your evidence against you that you put out there to the world freely. Hey, y'all, I'm committing a crime. I'm not a looter. I'm just breaking into shit. That's I can't. I don't know. I don't get it. The lure of the camera.
Well, everybody wants to be seen. It's a look at me. We live in a look at me society.
I mean, is it hugs? Is it hugs? Did we need more hugs growing up? Or just
maybe some people do. Yeah.
I just don't get it. Don't get me wrong. I admire some things that I do. Every now and again, I can walk by a mirror and just like, if I had done my push-ups that day, I can like flex a little bit. But it's, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to live stream that. I don't know if, and I'm definitely not going to live stream me committing crimes to the world.
Well, you're of a different generation.
Yeah, but see, I'll go to the boondocks and straight lace town. I'm not doing nothing that's going to get me anally raped in jail.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just saying. That's I mean, because Aaron, you can go to jail, Aaron, and there's going to be plenty of people in there who are going to ask you to braid their hair and have anal sex with them. And it might not be asking. It's like that wasn't a question. That was like, this is what's going to happen. Because you wanted to live stream. Yeah. I don't think people understand that. That there may be a riot fighting over your booty in jail.
Wow. You think?
I'm just saying. That's where I'm at. That's what I got. I know. We go go on break.
That prison talk, I don't know. I don't have no say in that.
Yeah, it's not your thing. I got it. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I can't relate.
I know. None of us want to be able to relate. This is Method Man. Method Man. Method Man. We got the song Method Man called Method Man. the remix. Anyway, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, I'm looking in the chat room. It's like one of our chat room participants, Alluring Adventures, said they wish that they could live stream that too. I'm guessing they're referring to the festivities that go on at jail. I'm guessing that, yes, that would be disgusting, but I'm guessing that it probably would be one of the most highest rated reality shows ever. Because what would be more scrumptiouser than that? America's always been rapey, right? So, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Hey, but guess what? COVID reporting is going back to the CDC.
Okay. I don't understand why it ever left, to be honest. But...
Oh, well, you know why it left.
They want to fudge
the number, so they wanted the do-over on how hospitals report the new COVID-19 cases. But because it was taking so long. They had to return it back to the CDC because the data collection process is horrible. We're talking about the federal government. But for some reason, and it's just the funny thing. If it's government, you know it's going to be 5 times slower than if it's non-government. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've always wondered how that is, right? If it's government, the state, whatever, it's always slower than if people actually at a private firm or whatnot, private company would do it. It's like, kind of have to have it done that day. Whereas something that has anything to do with the state or the federal government, you know it's going to take a minute. It's like,
yeah,
maybe in the interview, there's like candidates, like you're interviewing for a job, and if you seem too qualified, you can't work for the federal government. That's what I'm just thinking, man. That's what's happening. Because anything that the government is terribly slow and inefficient. So if it's not taking your money,
start off, you know, like good, and then they see everybody around them is like horrible. So then they just become horrible themselves.
So you're saying it's a culture of horribleness on the job.
Yeah.
That's your theory? Okay.
I believe so.
I won't argue with that. Because it seems that's what it is, because the move to process it back to the CDC comes because there's been repeated delays and inconsistencies in the data compiled. And because they're trying to reliably track the course of the pandemic, because it seems to be exploding everywhere, but then you have the folks who are, oh, it's not exploding, but it's exploding. It's like you have massive discrepancies. That's the word I'm looking for. Massive discrepancies in the reporting process. And because you're trying to reopen society, you don't want to restart the pandemic when the rest of the world seems to be getting better and we're getting worse. We're not hearing the bumping up of cases anywhere except for here in the United States. So it's kind of telling that.
Yeah, we are struggling.
Yeah. So it's like, because we're all over the place. We keep talking about there's the faction of people who like, oh, it's crock shit. Then there's the people who are like, I can't go outside. I've been balled up in the corner in my closet and, you know, wiping myself down with hand sanitizer. It's like,
yeah.
We don't know what direction we're going in here. And speaking of direction that we're going in, I mean we've been talking about the election and what the current administration has been saying about how they're going to view the results, whatnot, and what they plan on doing as far as stopping you from voting amidst the Democratic convention going on. And we know now that Kamala Harris is vice president and Joe Biden has accepted the nomination for president from the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all that going. And then there's the poll tax down in, I don't have to say it, but I'm going to say it, Florida. Where there's a court case.
You do have to say it.
I know.
You have to say it every time.
Yeah. So basically, there's Senate Bill 7066, which is a state law requiring former felons to pay outstanding court fees before having their voting rights restored. And so that's a court case because there's thousands of people who, we're talking about, when I say thousands, I'm wrong here. It's nearly 800,000 former felons in Florida who still owe court fees or fines. And we're talking about Trump won Florida by 113,000 votes. So we don't know which
but
way.
It's 800,000 felons?
Yes.
In Florida?
Nearly. It's not really, because when you talk about, people who've been to jail, I'm guessing we probably got that or double that here in California. So.
In California,
Because you were just talking about if you went to jail, if you have court fees, fines, whatever, did you pay your restitution and whatnot? That's part of that bill.
So did they have to do that last election?
Well, no, what happened last of the election, there was legislature. There was a voter approved ballot measure, 2018 Amendment 4, that restored the voting rights to state residents with felony convictions. And that amendment applied to all ex-felons except for murderers and sex criminals, as long as they completed their prison terms, parole, and probation. So in response to that, they made this proclamation. I was going to say, what's up, Liz? I see you in the chat room. I was going to say, go to smoothdrama.com. We're in that chat room if you want to be in the chat room with people. I'm just saying. In the meantime, yeah, so Florida, they passed an Amendment 4 that restored the rights, the voting rights to felons, so long as they weren't murderers and sex offenders. And so that's why they came up with SB 7066 in May to counteract that, because they don't want those people to vote. Because they don't know how they would vote. See, because this is kind of how we see how elections go, right? You poll people who are active voters. So you kind of know how they're going to vote. But when you get an unprecedented amount of people who can be on the voter poll, then your prognosis, you don't know. You can't forecast anything.
It can go either way. Yeah.
Right, because you don't know it, because it's all sight unseen. So they wouldn't know how to canvass, because you got to remember, the political process is very controlled. It's not a free for all. You don't know what's happening. No, they know what's happening. They target, and they know who's going to vote how. So there's like they always say, there's that 5%. 5-10% margin of error. Whereas if you add this measure, let's say it's something that spreads across the country, you say 800,000, even though I'm guessing there's not 800,000 in every state, but if we talk about 100,000 in every state that can vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no way to poll them and figure out how they're going to vote, or because you know they do the cold calls and other things, reaching out to people so they can how you're going to vote. So, yeah. So instead, if all these people are going to sign up to vote, we're going to just pull up the mailboxes so that you can't mail in your vote.
But they can't stop you from putting it in the polling, going to like the actual polling place to drop it off, or actually going to the post office to drop it off.
Yeah, but you see, that's the next battle. So What's been happening is there have been certain places, sports arenas are being groomed to be polling places. They have a lot of space. You can go in there and they can hold a lot of polling workers. So it'll be like a central location in every town, because we know big cities have these sports arenas. So there have been a lot of football, basketball, baseball players who have been working to make that happen. Now, smaller towns that don't have those facilities, and you may have people who are a little bit more reluctant to be around each other, would fall into the, oh, they took the mailboxes, how are we going to mail it off? I mean, because we've seen the mailboxes being taken off the street, and you're hearing stories about chickens being delivered dead because they were in the post office for so long, rotting food. I had my own personal, and this was just the UPS trying to get my desk. It took me almost a month to get an art desk that was 5 minutes away from my house. It was sitting in the warehouse. I couldn't even pick it up. So, you know, these kind of problems with mailing. So you control the narrative when we talk about voting, because you're going to have certain people who vote a certain way because that district votes a certain way. Those districts, the mailboxes probably won't be pulled from. And that's the difference. Certain towns,
yeah,
mailboxes won't be pulled from, but certain towns, we've seen the mailboxes being pulled from. And we're just going to take an educated guess that it's a town where people who wouldn't necessarily vote for you, they won't have mailboxes. So
I would agree with that.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt that happens. Well, I don't doubt it happens here, but I don't know. I mean, since we're in a blue state anyway. But I guess that would happen there for a blue state, huh? But
well,
I'm more than happy to like gather people if they have mail-in ballots and drive to another city and put it in their mailbox or put it in and go to their post office.
Yeah, it would be something that you can organize. You would probably have to organize it in secret. Because,
oh, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't just pick up like thousands. It would be a little bit at a time. I would never.
Well, no.
I wouldn't.
Right, because what would happen would be like somebody who was doing that the police would stop them.
Yeah.
I could see stuff like that happening. It's just a thought.
Yeah. I feel like it's worth it, though, to, you know, go out of your way.
It would definitely help. But we're talking about strategies that you would have to come up with on the fly. Speaking of strategies, we got going to Hater of the Week.
Hate. I hate you.
So, Hater of the Week, there's a newspaper, not going to name the name of it. It's in Missouri. I think Missouri is the Show Me State.
Mm-hmm,
okay. So, yeah, they're showing us how ignorant they are. And they did a cartoon depiction of MLK's I Have a Dream speech. And mm-hmm. in it, it has the I Have a Dream, and it has the exaggerated facial features of Martin Luther King saying, I have a dream that my four children will one day loot stores in Chicago and call it reparations.
Wow. They went there, huh?
They went all the way in.
Wow.
They went there. Yes. So, yeah.
Wow.
Now, the newspaper is owned by the Rust Communications. They defended the sketch. It's some rich assholes. They defended the sketch as among cartoons with a broad range of viewpoints that the newspaper has been publishing regularly. Because that's what they say Martin Luther King's dream was all about. They didn't even say little white boys and little black boys can hold hands together. No, they didn't even say they can loot together. They just say, no, my kids can loot.
My four kids.
Yeah.
Which his four kids are all adults and one has passed.
Right. Loot stores in Chicago. And call it reparations.
His four kids are grandparents now, so yeah.
Yep.
No, they're not, you know.
That part. Hey, it's one of those situations where you have folks who you make an ignorant statement, and you would wonder why people would be remiss at it, because it's like, well, it's just comedy. It's just comedy.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Very funny, right?
It's so funny I forgot to laugh. You remember that when you used to say that when we were younger?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right.
I just feel like, you know, some of us, and I have to admit it, I am one who is so stuck on being politically correct that I'm the same people who were complaining about us not being politically correct or PC are the same ones who are dishing it out now, like below the belt. And I'm feeling like we need to get back to, you know, who we used to be and not be PC.
Right. So, I mean, so let's not be PC here. Okay. So, I'm gonna preface this to all my racist homies, like the caller from last week. All my racist homies who listen to the show. Steve Bannon and others use private border wall money in a money laundering scheme, and I mean basically it's a slush fund, right? Mm-hmm. They defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors, capitalizing on their interest in funding a border wall to raise millions of dollars under the false pretense that all of the money would be spent on construction. So, and I'm gonna say this, con men, even when they say what you want to hear, because that's what con men do, right? Con people. Mm-hmm. We'll say con people, because women con also. And we're gonna go all the way in and be 100. We say transgender con. We just all of them. Gay, LG, all of everybody who cons, whatever their gender fluid identity is, are con people, right? So con people. That makes sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They use your racist feelings and ideology to raise millions of dollars that they use to buy themselves stuff. They didn't build anything. So,
of course not. I mean, I don't know.
But that's the thing. We do know. So when we talk about being straight up, your racist bullshit, you get conned too. See, because once again, it's I always say it. It's like a lot of the stuff that they do, it's not for us. I mean, because they're already mistreating black folks, people of color, whichever
mm-hmm.
one you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
brown, whatever. We already mm-hmm. know that we're being fucked over, which is why we protesting and hollering and screaming. But for you racist people who don't think you're racist but have racist practices, You know, like you supported the wall, you sent in your $50 to keep the Mexicans out. Steve Bannon and the homies say thank you. Thank you very much. That trip to Europe, that was on you. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why would I spend my millions when I can just, you know, con you out yours, $2.
No, hold on.
You know,
they crowdsourced more than $20 million. That's what they for you people who were, you know, racist, you want to keep the Mexican homies out. I get it. You was like illegal folks. They trying to come over here, steal your jobs, picking trees, whatnot, picking fruit, and all other stuff you didn't want to do. You know what? You have the right to your opinion. But guess what? Your racist thoughts and what you thought was doing good. And Brian Kofagi, the founder and public face of We Build the Wall, wouldn't be paid a cent. But yeah, he was living his lifestyle. Yeah. I mean, because you can imagine them envelopes showing up. Some people were sending cash, cashier's checks, PayPal. $20 million. He's like, thank you, racists. Thank you very much. He's rooting for the racism. You know, every time Trump says something, he's like, hell yeah. I'm going to guess the people in the administration, Steve Bannon and them, they got a piece of that also.
I'm sure.
Yeah. See, that's why the apocalypse is more scrumptious, sir.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to go on break again. This is Common. Misunderstood.
You understand me now. No one can always be an angel. When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't leave me there from this world. Broadway played that, dancing with Alvin. The ones that make it always need to sound.
dreams get lost, never to be found again. At first, tripping seems no empowerment. Most every girl wanna do it now and then. But being me, every day is devouring. Got with me, but where she put powder red. Life would bring her, now she powder red. She was high when she fell down in it. Crowds surrounding it, heart was pounding it. She fell into a deep sleep, the siren sounded it. Seen bright lights in the midst of clouds in it. Talk to God, feeling like his child again. That Lord, let me live so I can make you proud again. We are.
Mr. F N Word and Miss Brown Sugar. That was Comment. Misunderstood. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, you know, it's always so much. It's
all the time.
It's so much, and that's why it's so delicious, right? We talk about how delicious it is, the more scrumptious.
Scrumptious, yeah.
All right. So we talk about education. You know, right now education is filled with the conversation about whether or not we should be teaching privately online or teaching, you know, together in class and the numbers and all that. But we talk about teaching first, because it seems like you're in a point, Brown Sugar, where kids are taught the right things when we're in public, right? It's like you see and you hear all the right things, and people are going to say this and say that in how to resolve conflicts, but then there comes that point where we get that disconnect, and society takes over, and all the good educating that goes on gets thrown out the window. Because I haven't been to school where people are just like, you know what, you should be hating everyone. You should be talking shit to people if you don't agree with them politically. That you don't hear that, right? We know in the education process that don't happen. But for some reason, we get there. And so like, for example, Kansas City Chiefs banned the headdresses. Like, you know how they've gone away, like when we talk about the Washington Redskins, they went away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're the Washington football team. Because Native Americans been complaining that, hey, some of those caricatures are not funny. It's offensive to
mm-hmm.
us, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
to folks, it's, for them, it's galling. Like, how y'all gonna tell us how y'all are offended? We should be able to tell you how you're offended, right? Instead
mm-hmm.
of saying, if I ask you, what offends you, brown sugar, and you tell me, and I get mad at you for telling me what offends you, what does that make me?
An asshole?
Okay. Well, yeah. That too.
I mean...
Right. But that's kind of the point, right?
I mean,
so,
I thought we said we don't have to be PC, right?
Right. We're not being PC, and that's it. And that's
okay.
the point.
Okay.
Because I ask you what offends you, and you tell me, and I get mad at you for telling me your true feelings.
Well, that's gaslighting. But that's all.
Yeah.
That's what just, I mean. As adults, though, I mean, we learn as children to like the whole thing, and we discussed this, like, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
But we don't necessarily follow that rule the older we get. We do as you did. We don't do all of what you said. I don't care anymore because I'm coming of age where I can express myself. And just like you act a fool, oh, well, if you can do that, why can't I? When I, you know, when you go through your stages of growing. So
yeah, I mean, we're talking
about
a culture, a disrespectful culture.
Yeah. But humans are disrespectful. I mean, you know, there's nobody more important than me.
True.
Even though you have the same feelings that I do. You know what I mean? You have the same emotions. You have anger, sadness. You know, you have all these happy, you have all these emotions just like I do. We might express them differently, but you still have them.
Yeah.
So I just always feel like, yeah, we don't ever take that into consideration. That's always like been baffling to me. I've always been just like amazed. Like,
well,
when that person who is, you know, they never think they do anything wrong and you do everything wrong. And it's like, well, what about when you, no, we're not talking about me. Don't deflect. And it's like, well, no, we're not. But nobody believes in what goes around comes around, I guess.
So just because I smacked you in the face, you won't bring that up. When you mess up.
Well, probably I'm going to slap you back. First, I'm going to slap you back. And then we could talk about it. or we're going to fight, and then we could talk about it.
Right, but that's the point, right? You want to smack me, and I'm like, hey,
yeah.
Why you smack me? That's some bullshit. But then you're going to say, well, you smack me. I'm like, well, no, we talking about old stuff. Let's talk about right now,
exactly.
What you just did. So that's what that is. See, because that's the whole point. I disrespect you, and I ask you, is that disrespectful? And you say, yeah. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I like disrespecting you. You don't like
or
me disrespecting
you? It's not even a matter of you liking to disrespect that person. Is you want what you want, and if that means in the process, some people get disrespected. I'm sorry, but I like this. Like, I like the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm sorry you feel offended by it, but I like it. So I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So, I mean.
There. It's not too much to say.
No.
It's real cut and dry.
But if you think about it, when you think about it, it's just like toddlers. If you hit a toddler, or if a toddler hits you and you hit the toddler back, they're going to cry. And they're wondering why you hit me back or why did you do that? Or, you know, toddlers are like like who we really are as people. If you ever just, you know, hang with a toddler for any length of time, you'll see that, like, that's who we truly are as humans.
Well, that's sobering and meaning hurtful, calling me a toddler.
I mean, I'm talking about human beings.
I know.
Like, toddlers want their way. They don't see anything but them. It's what I want. It's
right.
All about their emotions. And as human beings, that's who we are. It's all about us.
There you go, trying to take all the fun out of us. Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry.
We're gonna talk about Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, what is the shit that happened again? Well, there's a North Carolina police officer, Jaquay D. Williams, who's identified as Officer Williams. He was fired. Because he did a TikTok talking about George Floyd's death, his killing. So for the last 2 months, he was put on administrative leave to do an investigation into his TikTok. And he was relieved of his duties. Now, the Greensboro Police Department said he was terminated last week, but it was not related to his comments. It wasn't his job performance. It wasn't that he had killed anyone or abused anyone, slammed them down, choked them out. It wasn't any of that. They said they had no issue with his statements and his denouncements of the officer's actions. But they didn't release any further information about saying that it was a personal matter. Now, let's look at that. A black police officer who says what it's a pretty common dividing ground, right? There's the racist people who are like, yeah, George Floyd, he deserved to die. And then there's the non-racist people who said George Floyd didn't deserve to die, to be killed like that. There's no middle ground with this. So, an officer who is fired, not because he choked anyone out, didn't kill anybody, didn't rape anybody. I mean, because we can talk about the long list of things that police officers have done that have not been charged. Didn't break into anyone's house. And kill the wrong people. He got fired. Not for any of that, but allegedly because it's a personal matter. That's all we're going to state. He just happened to make some statements about officers who have been arrested for essentially was murder. Yeah, he had negative comments about that. So that's how you get fired as an officer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about non-PC stuff. You tell the truth.
Yeah. Okay.
Groundhog Day. People who tell the truth. Nah, we gotta come get you. You can't be out there talking about truth and justice. That's not what policing is, apparently, in the 21st century.
Well, we already knew that. I mean, serve and protect. If that's not the biggest lie.
Right.
The irony of it.
Well, that's the irony of this. He's fired. They won't go into detail, but he's essentially fired because he hasn't committed any crimes.
Oh.
I mean, he's fired because he hasn't killed anybody and not talked about it. So that's what's happening. In the meantime, we know there are officers out there who revel in the murder of people. There's a group of officers who, and they're supposedly a urban legend here in Vallejo, in the Bay Area, as a matter of fact, the badge-bending Vallejo police.
Mm-hmm.
Their culture is they bend their badges for every murder that they've committed. And they commemorate the on the job killings that they carried out. So they say that they're immune from any discipline because the city waited too long to investigate and the legal window for discipline is now closed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a window for murder.
Apparently there is. See, let's look at the contrast here for a second. These are officers that they know. They have the badge bending, and it's allegedly about commemorating kills, like serial killers, right? Because we know serial killers,
yeah,
they commemorate their murders.
Yeah, they take little pieces of
trophies.
Yeah, like mementos or whatever.
Right. So these are individuals, these are police officers who commemorate their murders. They're known. Obviously they're known. They're right here in the Bay Area. Now they're not gonna get arrested. They're not gonna get fired. Now, the brother in North Carolina, he's not bending his badge commemorating murders. He's talking about murders and how it shouldn't happen. And he's fired,
mm-hmm,
not for killing. He's fired because he's saying, hey, we should do it better. Because apparently that's a crime, talking about doing it right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. So, yeah, right here in the Bay Area, it was a police captain last month. A police captain, he was fired by the department, allegedly, after he blew the whistle on the badge bending scandal.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So they didn't say what they fired him for.
No. He didn't do his job right. Whistleblowers.
Yeah.
Whistleblowers get the worst. If you blow the whistle, you have to either leave the country because you're not going to get a job ever again.
You're right.
You had the nerve to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Right. You got the nerve to tell the truth? What are you thinking? Tripping. I mean, we don't do that. You don't tell the truth.
Hmm.
And just because you have the nerve to tell the truth,
you're one of us.
Right. You're going to, I mean, but it's like, it's pretty much anything. A lot of truth tellers, they get put in jail, never heard of again, or they die of gastroenteritis or some other ailment that mysteriously happens to them. You know, when there's scandals, you hear a lot of people have heart attacks and gastrointestinal issues.
True.
That's how you know it's a scandal, because gastroenteritis or gastrointestinal issues appear, and that person is die, cancer or something. Something kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after the charges. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about that, and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. I go to Harlem Globetrotters. There was a brother. He's a Harlem Globetrotter. And the media in Alabama throws some bananas at him. Say, hey, you wasn't expecting that. It's like, nah, actually, it's not.
Why would I
because, be? Right, because it's not something that a regular person would think would happen, right?
Mm-hmm,
most
mm-hmm.
You know, you don't in on live TV by news broadcasters, like ha 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 ha. Like you said, it's that thing that makes you supposed to be funny. But it's not, you know,
not
so,
at all.
So yeah, the brother Pierce, Hops Pierce, Maxwell Pierce is his name. He's standing in the circle with weather forecasters, whatnot. They had the magic circle and the ball handling moves. And while preparing to toss the ball to him, one forecaster throws a tangerine. And he hands the fruit back. And the guy's like, oh, you weren't expecting that one. And then the other one throws a banana at him. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I missed that one. And
right.
The banana, what? Yeah.
Right. So
okay.
we have a basketball. You can't throw a basketball. It's my expertise. Harlem Globetrotters, basketball.
You would think they would have did like an apple, a melon, even.
Yeah, if he was a juggler, I could see that.
Yeah,
that's what jugglers do. So if
well,
if,
you know,
if
yeah, but they do all kinds of tricks though. So that's what I'm saying.
All right, so you look at it like so. You say a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So. Teachers in a circle with some people, and you know they have teaching materials. Somebody throws
mm-hmm.
a snake. I'm not a snake wrangler, right? So if you throw a snake at me,
yeah.
It's probably not gonna go over well.
True.
That's not funny. So banana. We know there's racial connotations, and that's
oh definitely.
That's what we're talking about. And on that note,
and that's what I'm saying. If you were, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
On that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. If you want to continue speaking with us, we are in the chat room, smoothdrama.com. See y'all on the flip side. Peace.
Yeah. He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.